Well, in December 2018, my dad had a hip replacement. Now, before he had the surgery, it was rather obvious that he had an issue with his hip. He had a pretty decent limp. He struggled to get up from the seated position. And if he did a decent amount of walking or standing for any period of time, he'd be in excruciating pain for a number of days after. It was clear that my father's hip needed replacing. Yet, when my dad went and saw the orthopedic surgeon, he was told, "No, you don't need a hip replacement. It's just a little bit of arthritis. Take these pills and you'll be fine." Well, 12 months later, with no improvement, my father sought out a second opinion. And he was told then, "Frank, you needed to have surgery at least 3 years ago. Your hip is stuffed. It needs to be replaced." Now, you might be asking, what does a hip replacement have to do with Hebrews? Well, when we actually look at our reading, I'll show you this morning that there is actually a rather large comparison here. So hang in there with me. For in today's reading, we actually see that the writer of Hebrews is contrasting the old covenant with a new, better, superior covenant. If you like, he's contrasting my father's old hip with his new, better, superior hip. For we read in chapter 8, verse 6, "But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is the mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises." This morning, as we look at our passage, like always, we need to look at its original context. We need to remember who the audience most likely was. We need to remember why the book of Hebrews was actually written. And we do this so that we have a better understanding of the text and we're not reading our own stuff into the original text. For the book of Hebrews was written in a time where it was starting to become hazardous to be a Christian. Christians were starting to lose their property. They were starting to lose their freedoms, and they were even starting to lose their lives just for believing in Christ. And this book is most likely written to an audience who were Jewish Christians, who because of these hazardous conditions that they were facing of being Christian, they were tempted to slip back into some form of Judaism to make their life easier so they wouldn't be persecuted. And this is the reason why the book is actually written. The book was written to provide its readers with a true understanding of who Jesus is, to understand that Jesus is the Son of God, to understand that Jesus is the merciful and faithful high priest, to understand that Jesus is the source of eternal life for all who believe in him. And as we turn to our text today from chapters 8 and 9, we see that the writer is outlining why Jesus in his new covenant that he brings is superior to the old covenant, and why you shouldn't turn back and want to slip back into an old form of doing things. And today we'll see that Jesus and his new covenant, they are like my father's new hip. They are by far superior to the old covenant. They are far superior to the old broken hip. And just like my father would never consider going back to his old hip, the writer here is exposing the reasons why the readers should not go back to their old hip, They should not go back to the old inferior covenant, the one which was broken. Now, as we turn and open up God's word this morning, let me just pray now as we seek God's help as we open up his word. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your scriptures. We now pray as we open up your word this morning that you'll be teaching us, guiding us, and changing us. Please remove all distractions from us now so that we can hear you clearly this morning. And we pray this in your Son's name and for your glory. Amen. Well, in the beginning of our passage in chapter 8 this morning, the writer of Hebrews, he reminds his readers of what he spoke about in chapter 1, that Jesus is the high priest, the one who has sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high in heaven. Jesus is the one who mediates a new covenant that he brings, and he liaises between Christians and God in heaven. For this is the role of the high priest. In the old covenant, the high priest was the one who liaised between the people and God. But after reminding the readers of this point, the writer then goes on to say something that originally just sounds a little bit off. Have a look with me if you've got your Bibles open at chapter 8, verse 7. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. Now, one could easily think here that the writer of Hebrews has just said that there is a problem with God's law. Especially if you stop reading at verse 7. Because he said there's a problem with the old covenant. But thankfully, the writer doesn't stop at verse 7. He goes on in verse 8 and says this. He outlines where the problem lies with the old covenant. He says, but God found fault with the people. You see, the problem of the old covenant was not God's law. It was his people. And the writer then goes on and quotes the reading which we had from Jeremiah 31. And we saw in this reading that God will make a new covenant with his people. And this covenant will be different. It'll be similar, but it will be different. Because the people of the old covenant, they did not remain faithful to God. Instead, they turned away from God. They broke his covenant. They didn't hold up their side. But under this new covenant, all will know God. And under this new covenant in Jeremiah, which is described here, God will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. See, the old covenant is like my dad's hip, his old hip. Because of my dad's misuse over years of his hip and lack of care of it, it no longer functioned as it should. And just like when the surgeon offered my father a new hip, God has offered his people here a new covenant, one which is different, one which is by far superior, one which will not wear out. For under the old covenant, sacrifices were constantly required to deal with the fact that God's people continually turned their back on God, that they broke the covenant. Now, these sacrifices, they took place inside the tabernacle or later on inside the temple. Now, the tabernacle and the temple were a place where God dwelt. And it was also a place with very strict rules, which governed who could come into what part of the temple and who could come into what part of the inner sanctum and other things like that. if we don't have any Jews in the room, we wouldn't even be allowed to go inside the temple. If you're female, sorry, you're not allowed to come in either. If you're not a priest, you're not allowed to go into certain section. And if you're not the high priest, well, guess what? You can't go into the inner sanctuary. See, these two places that were mentioned today in the tabernacle or the temple from Hebrews, being the holy place and the most holy place, they could only be entered by the priests. And priests could only enter into there once they'd done a whole pile of ceremonial washings and sacrifices to make sure that they were clean because they were entering the presence of God. And when it comes to the most holy place, well, like I said, the high priest was the only person who was allowed to go in there. And he could only go in one day a year, the Day of Atonement. They actually used to tie a rope around the high priest's waist just in case he didn't do the sacrifices correctly or the washings correctly and he got struck dead because he was in the presence of God. And remember, no one else can go in there. So the only way to get him out is to pull him out with a rope. See, to go into the most holy place, the high priest would have to do all these ceremonial washings, make sacrifices, and then on top of that, on the Day of Atonement, he would take a young bull to sacrifice it for his sins and his family's sins. And then he would take a goat and sacrifice that for the nation of Israel. And he would also take a ram and offer that as a burnt offering. But our reading this morning from Hebrews actually indicates that these sacrifices and these offerings which were made to God, they're actually only a true illustration of what is to come. For verse 9 of chapter 9 teaches us this. This is an illustration of the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshipper. See, even the old sacrificial system under the old covenant pointed to the fact that they needed a new covenant, a superior high priest. One who didn't need to make sacrifices. It pointed to the need for a new hip. And just like every surgeon likes some good level butts, there is an awesome but here in verse 11. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through a greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, it is not part of this creation. He did not enter by the means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus attaining eternal redemption. How great is this? This is the gospel. Jesus came as our great high priest in order that his blood might cleanse our conscience. And it cleanses it from the acts that lead to death. This is the gospel. By believing in Jesus and his sacrifice, we are granted eternal life because of what he has done. Because Jesus is our high priest who has offered himself as a perfect sacrifice, he has obtained a permanent access into the most holy place. Remember what happened when Jesus died on that cross. The curtain which separated the most holy of holies, the most holy place, was torn in two. and unlike the old covenant, which required annual sacrifices. Jesus does not need to be sacrificed time and time again, for his sacrifice was unblemished. His sacrifice was perfect. For Jesus was free from sin. And as a result, the death that he died, he did not deserve to die. Therefore, he could take my punishment. He could take your punishment upon himself. By the shedding of Jesus' blood, eternal redemption was obtained once for all. This is the new covenant. This is the new hip that we've all been waiting for. But the writer, he's not finished here. He has one last comparison to make, one last plea to stop these struggling Christians from slipping back into this old broken covenant. One last appeal for them not to go back to their old hip. Have a look with me from verse 13 of chapter 9. See, he says there, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean. They sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. So these inferior gifts and offerings, they actually do sanctify someone so they're outwardly clean. How much more then, the writer goes on to say, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from the acts which lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. You see, the writer here has just stated and explained to his readers that Jesus fulfills that old covenant. He pays the price of the sins committed under that old covenant. You are no longer under this old covenant, but you're under a new covenant, one which has been sealed by the blood of Jesus. And Christ is our great high priest, who is our mediator. All we need to do is call upon his name, and we will receive the promised eternal inheritance. So how good are your hips today? Have you had your hip replacement? I'm talking about your metaphorical hips here, not your... Or are you still struggling with your old hips? Have you put your trust in what Jesus has done for you? Or are you still struggling to try and obtain salvation by yourself? Are you still struggling to live under the old covenant? Or are you trusting in what Jesus has done for us in sealing this new covenant with his blood? Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your words here to us today. We especially want to thank you for sending Jesus to not only be our high priest and mediator, but also to be our atoning sacrifice. We pray today that we would be trusting in what Jesus has done for us and not slipping back into the old way of doing things and trusting in ourselves. And we pray this in your Son's name and for your glory. Amen.